Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Jacob. How are you two idiots doing?
Pretty good.
Aroused.
I didn't need to know that.
Ryan Niemiller's here as well.
Which is why I'm aroused.
I wasn't aroused until I heard that Jacob was aroused, and now I'm also aroused.
It's just a chain of arousal.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, we're all just going to end up sticking our dicks into each other's butts. Again.
Yeah, we are. We're right now
grab the camera.
As a group, we are at half chub. If we're all collectively one penis, we're at half chub right now as two of us are aroused.
I was gonna say Aki's actually like 90% of that penis.
and we make up the mighty head.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
What the fuck kind of show
reference?
Does this happen other times when I'm not on the show?
No, it's never this bad. It's just because of you, Ryan.
I show up, we talk about butt plugs, and we talk about...
Docking,
yeah.
Sticking headphones up each other's asses.
Yeah, boofing. We're boofing it.
Boofing those headphones.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ryan, how are you doing? How's things going for you?
Oh, things are good. Things are good. I've just been... the last couple months, I was on the road a decent amount. I have a good month or so off. I just have a couple of fun little corporate shows, which are always a good time, before I get back to it again in April and May. So I've been laying low, just playing some games.
What kind of games are you playing?
I'm almost done with the base of Forza Horizon 5 now, finally. That's one of the benefits. I could actually finish the seasons. Because I've actually had 4 weeks in a row where I was more or less home to actually do all the challenges. Because if you miss one of those weeks, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So I hadn't been able to do it yet. So that's the one downside I do not like about that game is it's not good if you have to travel a lot.
That's one of my problems with games in general nowadays that have like battle passes and shit like that. Like if I miss a week, I feel like I've missed out on everything.
Yeah. Heaven forbid you do something like,
have a birthday
or go on vacation or something like that. I mean, that's how those games are designed. It's to have you log in every day so that you buy their stuff.
These games are made for people like me who are completely worthless.
That was the example I was actually going to use, Aki. Thank you. I was going to say, this is for people who are worthless like Aki. Yes.
Yeah,
I was going to say, are the games worthless or is Aki worthless?
Both.
Yes. Okay. 6 and 1/2 dozen in the other.
Oh, Jesus. I unfortunately missed you when you came through our area. We had a shitty ice storm. How was your show that was local to me that my stupid ass missed?
The shows were actually fun. They were a little lighter attended than I would have liked for the reason you mentioned. A lot of people were just like, nope, not driving through that. I put on a good show. I don't think it's worth dying in an ice storm good. if I had to, I'll put that on the business card. Not worth dying for, Ryan Niemiller. That's who I am. But the shows themselves were good. They were in a couple of weird little towns. As you can attest to, kind of being from the area, the general area, they're not places I would have assumed would have done comedy. But the shows themselves were fun. There was a lot of drunk, loud people the second night that I just basically got to choose violence that evening, which is sometimes fun. But it was a good time. It was a good time.
In what way did you choose violence? Did you throw something
every
at them?
Way.
Basically, like there's certain shows. It's hard to explain. I'm not an aggressive comedian on stage. You've seen me once before, and you know that. Like when I get to do my show, I just do my show. You know, I'm not going after the audience. I'm not that kind of guy. But there's just certain days where you kind of go into work with a bit of a mood, and you're kind of like, I don't welcome it. Like, if no one would have heckled, I would have been fine.
So you were the me. Okay.
Basically, yeah. Sometimes just in the back of your head, you're just like, I wish a motherfucker would right now. Just because I have some aggression I want to get out.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not looking for the fight, but if anyone does anything, I'm ready to go. And that's kind of what that second show was. It ended up being a lot of fun, actually, just based on people being dumb. I turned the rest of the audience against the lady that was yelling, so that's always fun.
What was she yelling about?
I can't even remember. She was one of those kind of hecklers, the show's been long enough now where I don't remember the specifics, but she's one of those type of hecklers where she's adding to everything. like in the way you'll be like, oh yeah, you know, taxes are too high. You got that right! Like, it's just like one of those people where it's like, I know.
You're a hype person.
Jeez, they're the worst.
Oh, yeah.
You got that right.
And she wasn't exactly this. I always tell everybody, the worst kind of heckler is not somebody who hates you. If somebody's being rude and is clearly being a dick to you, whatever. All hands on deck for that one. You can just destroy them. Like that's it's the people that like you enough where you still might be able to sell them a t-shirt. So you don't want to destroy them instantly. But some of the worst hecklers I've ever had have been like, you know, you'll be halfway through a joke and they're like, we love you, Ryan. And you're just like, cool, that could have waited 45 minutes, but I appreciate it. Stop doing that, please.
Yeah, thankfully no one did that when I saw you.
Right. Because nobody was there.
There was a quinceañera. I mean, come on.
That one was a weird night, too. I understand they had some COVID issues before that. So I was the first week they were reopened and they didn't tell anybody. Like the week of, the website still said they were shut down for COVID. So
even better is the website gave an address that was the wrong place.
Yes, they were doing some renovations, so they had moved to a different place, and so that changed as well. Yeah, I remember having to direct you to
the good right luck place, just follows minute. You everywhere.
Yeah, that's how I that's my the life of a road dog. That's
how it works. On top of that, we're supposed to get snow and ice again tonight, so I'm blaming you directly for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. It actually briefly snowed here yesterday. That's how weird the weather is right now. And I'm in Southern California where that doesn't happen.
Jacob, are you getting shitty weather down your way?
So supposedly we're going to get frozen rain tonight, but then it's going to have it's going to be up to in the 50s. So
God.
Yeah. I don't fucking know.
You can rock your two piece after that. 50s. Hell yeah.
Sorry, but I rock a three piece.
That's what I like.
Wait, one, two. I don't even want to think about that.
Teen Girl Squad.
A diaper.
Three piece.
The Dorito, I guess, is the third piece. The Dorito on the chest.
I just have a very well placed waffle cone.
See, I thought it was going to be the man beach thong and then the two nickels covering your nipples.
Oh, there you go.
Technically making it a three-piece.
There you go. What is wrong with us? Jesus Christ. How did your special taping go?
It went well. I wore my three-piece. It was very sexy. The special was good. I'm excited to see the edit. Hopefully I'll be seeing that here in the next couple weeks. They filmed five specials at once, so they're kind of wading through all of them. I got an email the other day about I have to send in my my special thanks liner notes. If you guys want to be a part of the liner notes, the bidding starts at $20. I can be bought very easily.
I got 20 bucks.
Cents. Oh shit, I got outbid.
There you go. So far, you're in, Joe.
Sweet.
That's what she said.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, no, so far, I'm in, Joe. That's what I'll be saying.
That I'd believe more likely.
Yes. I'm a celebrity. I have certain decadent needs.
Well, I helped fulfill one of your needs once upon a dream. I got you Spike Out Battle Street for the Xbox. I hooked you up with my copy. I wasn't using it anymore and sent it your way.
You did, yeah.
For a princely sum.
That is one of the trickier games to find for the OG Xbox. And even better, it came with chips.
It did. What did you think of those chips? Oh, Jacob's going to hate this.
Oh, I liked them. The only ones I didn't love were the barbecue, but that's just because I don't love barbecue.
Mm.
But the chips themselves barbecue were very shit. Good.
I understand.
Right. Jacob, do you know what we're talking about?
You sent a fucking Middlesworth.
You're goddamn right. I sent a Middlesworth.
Yeah, and I just ate them. I ate them off my belly like an otter. They were delicious.
No, they were complete shit. Like, no, seriously, Middlesworth are some of the worst potato chips out there.
Oh, he's a hater. Like, he likes like shitty chips.
I like hers, like made in God's own country. Like, fuck off with your Middlesworth shit. Like, they're seriously.
Seriously,
they are the LaCroix of potato chips. They have a hint of flavor.
How did we get into a fucking argument about stupid ass potato chips?
Shut up. We're talking about Middlesworth chips and how much they suck.
The adults are talking.
This is the most passionate I've heard anybody on this show.
Like, seriously? Like, Middlesworth sour cream and onion chips taste like they passed by the exhaust of a truck.
Potato chips in general suck.
That was
all of them.
Well, Aki, you have access to rallies, so I mean,
yes, I do.
I do miss rallies very much. Rallies, one of my staples in the Midwest.
Yeah, once I got back home, I ate it twice, and I ate 4 days worth of food in two.
Proud of you.
Yeah, it was delicious. The best like $40 I spent for those days. Each one was like $20-something. It was worth it. So worth it.
I mean, shit, that's what we pay for our meals anymore because we're lazy and we use DoorDash.
See, no, that's what I pay because I'm fat and I like food. Because I usually eat a few burgers and a large fry a day, and I'm like, okay, that's good. But that's all I eat the whole day. Both of those times I ate like 8 burgers, 2 extra large fries. I was like, yeah, no one should be eating this much food in a day.
That's but impressive. That there is a certain point with food that you go from like you're eating a normal amount, you're being a fat ass, and then it's impressive how much you're eating. And I think you passed over the fat ass part into being impressive again. So well done. I applaud you on my end.
Well, I don't have a sense of smell, which means I don't get that sense of fullness that other people do when they eat. So I can just keep eating continuously until I literally get to the point where I eat so much that I'm sick because I have too much food in my system.
Eat so much you get bored.
No, I usually eat because I am bored, to be honest.
Been there.
Yeah.
And anyone who has who watches us on Twitch knows I'm a hungry fella. So I like my nom noms too. So anyway, video game news. Should we talk video game news?
Fuck.
I guess.
Jacob is just so offended by Middlesworth for no reason.
I am offended by their existence that they all call potato themselves potato chips.
All potato chips suck. All of them. Tortilla chips are the only good chips. Just go ahead and throw out all potato chips. They're all garbage.
No.
They're all garbage. All of them. They're all shit.
I had those Lay's Stacks Buffalo and Ranch.
Ugh.
Okay. Those were pretty all decent. Right.
Y'all need to see the light. Jesus.
I do. It's when I crawl out of Joe's beehole.
At least now everyone knows you crawl up in there all the time.
I thought it was expected.
Joe, you tried so hard to
transition us into
video games. And then it somehow got even sexier.
I'm glad you appreciated my efforts, Ryan.
I appreciated the effort and then back to aroused.
Yes.
I appreciate the efforts too, even though I'm the one who completely dashed them upon the rocks. That just made me appreciate it even more because I got to destroy it. It's great.
Yeah, this podcast really is like a Sisyphean task.
So about game news.
Nah, fuck game news.
we do got to get to news. There's a lot of news to talk about. PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold were both announced for March, and there's some good stuff on the way. On both ends.
Well, good.
PlayStation Plus on PS4, they are getting Ark Survival Evolved and Team Sonic Racing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's pretty good.
And then PS5 is getting Ghost Runner.
Very nice.
I mean,
good conversation.
I guess I'm the only one who has an opinion on that one.
Good conversation. they're also getting a bonus, Ghost of Tsushima Legends, the online content, is going to be a bonus freebie for PlayStation as well.
Very nice.
Does my mic sound messed up? There is a chance that my internet is getting all fucky. I noticed that that OBS is dropping frames like crazy, so hopefully my internet doesn't just completely shit out right now.
You know, I was trying to, like, you know, keep it on the down low and, you know, let you figure it out on your own end, but, you know, oddly, get everyone involved in the process. That's cool too.
Oddly enough, you sound better in the actual on Twitch itself than you do in Skype. The mic sounds fucky in Skype, but on stream it sounds fine.
That's weird.
Yeah,
I tuned you out like 5 minutes ago, so I'm not.
It's fine. I did it too.
We're not talking about butt stuff or potato chips. So Ryan doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, nothing's being boofed unless I can boof Ghost Runner. I don't want to hear about it. Right?
I mean, in Ghost Runner, you do have a katana, which means a very long handle.
I say, yeah, that
shove
is
that handle
PSVR
straight
2.
Up your asshole.
That's the PSVR 2 experience. I want.
God. No, they use different controllers now. They're not asshole friendly anymore.
A katana
says you
controller. I approve.
All I heard is that Jim's not daring enough.
Yeah, anything's a butt plug if you try hard enough.
I mean, did you see what they look like? They're like donuts. They look weird.
All right, so let's fix that to...
So fisting, okay.
So let's fix that to anything's a butt plug if you've got good enough insurance.
There you go.
I guess.
And I do. I'm married into some good insurance, so I'm about to get very adventurous in the 2022. I'm telling you that much right now.
So is the internet better? Is, like, the audio quality better? Things?
Yeah, you're sounding good.
It's fine now, yeah.
All right, so I will continue with the news. Games with Gold was also announced for March. Xbox One is getting Flame in the Flood.
Nice. Cole really liked that game.
Fantastic game. And Street Power Soccer, which is an interesting pick, but I don't own it, so yay.
Oh, my God.
I know, it's crazy,
When's
right?
When's the last time that there was a Games with Gold that you didn't own one?
Like a month or two ago.
Shut up, Joe.
Eat my dick. And then Xbox 360 is getting Sacred 2, which is a fantastic game.
I'm slightly annoyed because I bought it like 3 weeks ago, but at the same time, I bought it for like $250, so I really don't care. But
I don't know what that game is. I've never...
It's like Diablo. Kind of.
No wonder I don't know it.
It's good stuff. I really liked it. I'm glad that it's... gonna be a Games of Gold. That's cool. And then SpongeBob Truth or Square, which, believe it or not, another game I don't own. Two in one month.
That's probably because it's a fucking SpongeBob game.
No, that does not stop Joe.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't. It fucking should.
I have 4 Cabela's games on my shelf because they're backward compatible.
Still better than SpongeBob.
You don't own a physical copy of that, Joe?
No. Nope.
Huh. I wonder if you know what? I think I bought your physical copy like 10 years ago.
Maybe. It's $20, so I didn't want to buy it digital. So now
you want it back?
It's going to be free.
So?
Yeah, but then you can also have a physical on top of that.
Yeah, it makes for a nice coaster.
Or you can sell it for like a few pennies on Mercury or whatever the fuck it's called.
Mercari. I just sold a box of like 28 backward compatible games for $100. Oh.
And you didn't let me know this, Joe?
I mean, it's on Mercari. Like,
what the hell?
Yeah, but I never checked Mercari. You think I'm
trolling your Mercari store?
You should be. There's some good shit on there.
We talk relatively frequently enough. You could have been like, oh, by the way, I know that you're a psychopath who doesn't stop buying games.
I didn't know you were looking for 360 games.
I'm looking for everything because I have a problem. I have 11 Switches. You think that 20 360 games were going to be like, no, that's where I draw the line. I bought too much.
Well, fuck, I'll give you I'll send you some pictures of some other stuff I got sitting around, and maybe you could.
Should. And they better be topless pictures, too.
I was going to say, they better be some tasteful nudes. Actually, I want tasteless nudes.
Send me just the pictures of the stuff you're selling, not with you in them. They can have the rest of that. They're welcome to. I'll just take the pictures of the stuff. That's
Yeah. All right, Joe, come on. Send us a fucking link. We need to look at this shit right now.
No. Street Fighter VI was announced. Did y'all hear about that?
Yeah,
and I didn't care.
I was going to say, like, the internet collectively did not give a shit.
and that's one
Street
of those
Fighter things. 2 is still one of the most popular ones, and that was made for the fucking Sega Genesis.
It was made for the arcades.
Yeah, so no, I don't think anyone gives a fuck anytime a new Street Fighter comes out, really.
Yeah, no, I think it was one of those things, too, that, like, I think people would have been more excited had they not convinced themselves it was, like, Resident Evil 4 remake or something like that. I think everybody else had such higher expectations that when it was only Street Fighter 6, everyone was like, ah, shit.
I honestly don't even think it was that. Like, because all the posts I saw about it, everyone was just like, oh, well, it's either a Resident Evil or a Street Fighter game. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
and when it got announced as Street Fighter 6, they were like, oh, yeah, see, we were right. We don't give a fuck. Like, Capcom could have made literally a sequel to anything else, and everyone would have been like, oh, shit, seriously? Awesome. But no, it's Street Fighter 6 with a fucking, like, Photoshop logo. Like,
that they stole, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other problem I think that didn't work in their favor is, like, I think the reaction to the announcement. Well, that, and had they not done, like, the countdown timer, and just, like, it was a random, like, oh, by the way, Street Fighter 6 is a thing, I think more people would have been like, okay, all right. But the fact they hyped it up with a timer just definitely set them up for disappointment.
Yeah.
I'm tired of countdown timers, too. Like, battle passes and countdown timers are both on my shit list.
Yeah, and when companies decide they're going to do a fucking Twitch stream that's like 8 hours long of nothing, and then at the very end you see a little bit of something. Fuck that. Like they did with Fallout 76, I think. They had a 24-hour fucking stream of just a goddamn bobblehead laying on its side the entire fucking time.
Really?
Yeah, that pissed me off.
Did you watch it the whole time?
Did you hear about that?
No, I watched fragments of it. And it was fucking stupid. It's you against Twitch's. No, I refuse to watch that. I was hoping it was going to come out with something good, and then it came out with fucking 76, and I was like, fuck you people. but, like, doing that is actually against Twitch's TOS, and that pisses me off when people do that, because it's always big companies that do that shit, and you're not supposed to, but they get away with
what's
it because
they got the money. Terms.
It's almost like they're paying to be able to do it.
Yeah, maybe. Weird. Probably. I don't like it anyways.
I don't know. I think if they would have announced any kind of details for Street Fighter 6, it would have gotten more attention. The fact that they couldn't even announce platforms, like if they release this on Xbox and it's not just another PlayStation exclusive, I think people are going to be excited. I think Street Fighter 5 was a huge miss because of the exclusivity.
I don't know. I think most people treat Street Fighter these days like they do Soul Calibur and Dead or Alive. They just fucking exist. No one is super hyped about them. No one super, super hates them. They're fucking there at this point is how I feel.
I mean, because, I mean, honestly, one of the things that drives me up the wall is, like, the fucking DLC. And it's just, like, the DLC for DOA, like, costs you, like, $100. Terrible. Like
more per than season.
Well, I mean, yeah, per season. And it's just like and they don't ever offer like a complete edition version of it. And so it's just like I just look at it, I'm like, no, there's no fucking way I'm shelling out like $200 for all this DLC that's nothing but alternate costumes. Like
some of them costumes are sexy though. Yeah, that's why they exist.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's totally why they exist.
And then look at me with Rock Band.
Fuck.
Yeah, but I'd argue that that's different.
No, Joe is still a whale.
I am a whale.
Well, yeah.
He is still exactly who they're fucking targeting with that kind of bullshit, is people exactly like Joe.
So anyway, yeah, they announced another game.
I would never do anything like that, by the way. I need 11 switches.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Dopey is rating us with 16 viewers. That is awesome.
I'm sorry, you guys.
Welcome, everyone. We are chatting with Ryan Niemiller, well-known comedian and true achievement hunter.
And sex pot.
Yes.
Mostly sex pot, yes. Yeah.
I mean, we're here for the nudity, really.
Exactly. Known cum dumpster, Ryan Niemeyer.
Jesus Christ.
That's the high quality entertainment you get from us.
Yeah, my hope by saying that is at least one person that came with the raid only knew me from America's Got Talent, and we're like, oh, my family loved him, and then that was the first thing they heard. That is my that is my dream.
Beautiful. They announced another game, Capcom Fighting Collection, going to be coming out for all platforms. It includes 10 games for $40 with a museum and a music player and all that jazz. It's going to come with Darkstalkers, Night Warriors, Vampire Savior, Vampire Hunter 2, Vampire Savior 2, Red Earth, Cyberbots, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Hyper Street Fighter 2, and Super Gem Mini Mix. So, big collection.
This one I'm actually excited about.
So, Street Fighter 2 and Darkstalkers, that's what it's coming with. The rest of that is just extra crap.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff, though. For fighting game fans, this is a hell of a collection.
And some of them haven't even been released stateside, so...
Yeah, I was about to say, do fighting fans even know what most of those games are? It's like I literally, the, yes, two, casuals, the two that I listed are literally the only two I've ever heard out of that.
I thought the Vampire Savior stuff was Darkstalkers, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's same universe, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's all vampire stuff.
Kinky vampires, I approve.
Yeah. Speaking of fighting games, Dragon Fighter Z joined PC Game Pass this week.
Cool. I think.
Yeah. Everyone's excited about that. This was some crazy news. Atlus announced Shin Megami Tensei Soul Hackers 2 set to release August 26th for PS4, PS5, Steam, and get this shit, Xbox platforms.
Gimme.
Atlus is releasing a game on Xbox. How crazy is that?
And not Switch, which apparently pissed a lot of people off.
Oh, I know. It's hilarious.
I don't know if the fucking Switch could run that game. I'm still shocked that the Switch can run anything. Yeah, but that's why
they just have them run it on the cloud.
Yeah, true.
Do people actually like running it on the cloud? Because back when it first came out, everyone complained about whatever game was being played from the cloud.
It's still
didn't think. Okay.
I've not heard a single person who's done cloud gaming on the Switch, at least, ever say, oh, this was the experience I'm glad that that I picked instead of something else.
Yeah.
Because you know it's rough when it can't even run, and this isn't like, I get that the cloud stuff isn't perfect yet, it's still a work in progress, but Nintendo Switch's cloud is so rough that it's not even running Kingdom Hearts properly, and it's not like those games are, you know, basically just what, ports from games 25 years ago?
Yeah.
If it can't handle that, it's not going to be handling anything brand new at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty sad how bad the Switch versions of Kingdom Hearts are. It just depressing. Like that shit should have been native on there.
Yeah.
McDonald's Goth, Brooke, thank you for your sub. This is your second month. Thank you. Wow, it's been that long. I can't believe we've been doing this for a month.
Hey, bro.
I'll tell you what, just being on this show tonight, it feels like an eternity. So.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. It's only been a half hour. Believe that shit. 2K has secured the LEGO license for a range of sports games, and the first game will supposedly be a soccer game from Sumo Digital.
That's cool.
Okay.
I'm not exactly surprised by it, because, I mean, if you folks remember, like, late 90s, early 2000s, LEGO was doing various sports stuff. Like, they did have soccer and basketball sets, and basketball is the other one that's rumored, I believe, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I only read about the soccer one,
because I know that there's soccer. I believe that this, I'd read basketball, and also supposedly a racing game.
Yeah, I'd believe that
is in development as well. But as I was saying, like late 90s, early 2000s, LEGO was dabbling into some sports stuff. And I got to play the soccer stuff as a kid, and it was I thought it was pretty neat. My only thing is that it's just like LEGO hasn't like really dabbled back into it. So I don't know what kind of product support it would have.
No.
You know?
I think the big thing is this is going to be done by 2K and not by Traveler's Tales.
Yeah, but I mean, what? I mean, has Traveler's Tales ever done any sports stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They did Rock Band.
That's not a sport?
Yeah, it is. It's an Olympic sport. Shadow Warrior 3 is going to be a PlayStation Now title at launch.
Cool. They finally fucking figured it the fuck out.
Yeah, it seems like, this seems like PlayStation is going to be getting serious. There's also rumors that their revamped PlayStation service with the three tiers that we've talked about before, supposedly going to be coming sooner than later, and a heavy focus on classic games. Those are the rumblings.
Okay.
Kinky.
Yeah.
Or something.
Bethesda is retiring the Bethesda launcher and will be transitioning all their games over to Steam.
Good. Oh, something sensible.
Oh, no.
I honestly didn't even realize that Bethesda had a launcher. That's
yeah,
how.
Believe it or not.
Nor did I.
Some ripping shit I'm, there.
I'm glad they're getting fucking rid of it. That just means one less stupid-ass launcher.
I'm good honestly with it. Shocked they're not doing Windows 10. Like, what? Huh?
Well, I assume they probably are putting their games on Windows 10 as well. But why not just sell it every fucking where?
Yeah.
Make more money that way.
Activision is supposedly going to be delaying next year's Call of Duty title, making it the first time in nearly two decades without a yearly COD.
Well, good. They should take 3 years to make each one from now on and... Well, they have enough studios at this point that there can be a new game made every fucking month. And that company doesn't need to have another game for fucking 3 full years. So just have one every 3 years. Work, make a really good campaign. Make sure that the multiplayer isn't a glitched out fucking thing like it was in the Battlefield games. You don't want that to start happening. So, you know, 3 years, pretty good.
Yeah, I'm all for it, especially if it lets some of those teams that are... you know, good teams do something that's not Call of Duty.
Yeah,
let them be creative and try to make something instead of just, and I don't play Call of Duty, but I'm also not like somebody who doesn't, you know, thinks it's only for cat. Like it has a mark. Obviously they do well. That's why they keep making them. You don't keep
fucking
making
yeah.
sell. So like, I get it, but I think it's going to both help, you know, the Call of Duty games be higher quality plus, you know, possibly let them make some other things. They're going to get some other franchises out there. And also, they're going to have Warzone regardless, so it's not like there'll be no Call of Duty to play.
I don't know. I would probably just keep the same company making the... I'd pick one of the companies that does really good with the Call of Duty games, and I just keep them on it. But just make it to where they have a lot of time to come up with a brand new idea for it. So it's something new each time instead of being like, okay, make this and now make another game. That way they have 3 years to just come up with some new shit to put in the game and make it better.
Personally, I'm hoping they go back to World War II. That's my hope.
I can't tell if you're kidding or not.
Of course I'm kidding. They're all World War II.
I just want them to get rid of the multiplayer finally.
I mean, I've been saying that part for years, but I got to review Call of Duty Vanguard, and for the most part, while I liked it, they did try covering like the Battle of Midway, which, you know, is one of the most important battles of World War II. And it's just like it was cool that they tried it, yeah. But it honestly, it was the part that I fucking hated the most during like the entire campaign. And it's just like, you know, maybe if like the game wasn't as rushed, maybe they could have found like a meaningful or, you know, not sucky way to do it. And so honestly, I'm in agreement that it's just like this pause is a good thing.
No. You want to know what else honestly, is a good thing? Vertically Impaired subbed for his 48th month. Four fucking years.
So sorry.
That is insane. Why? Like, I legitimately didn't know I've been streaming on Twitch for that long.
Huh. Has it only been that long?
I think it's been longer, but I just don't remember.
Okay, I'm old and dumb. I was thinking it was probably longer than that, too, because we have almost 800 episodes, don't we?
750, yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't all on Twitch, though. Don't forget, we had our stretch on Beam.
You were on Beam? I didn't know that.
What the fuck was Beam?
It was Mixer before it was called Mixer.
Oh.
Yeah. Everyone remembers that. Xbox is trying to forget that because they just recently reintegrated Twitch into the Xbox guide, making it easier to stream than ever. It's pretty much back to how it was before Mixer happened.
Does it have a chat when you actually use it in?
I don't know. I haven't used it.
Oh, because that's all I want. I want to be able to stream something and look to the side and see my fucking chat. That's it. That's all I want from these assholes. It's all I've ever wanted from these assholes. They need to fucking do it.
I want Snap back because they used to do That'd that with nice Snap. Too. The chat was in the Snap and then the actual gameplay was in the main window. I'm fucking bring Snap back, you cowards. Speaking of things coming back, Enclave HD now has a targeted summer release date for Xbox, PS4, and Switch. That was an old Xbox original game that is getting all HD-ified and is getting a new life. I'm kind of bummed it was never part of the backward compatibility program, but now it's getting remastered and re-released and probably going to have to pay like $30 for it.
I totally spaced out. What game are you talking
Enclave
about?
Enclave HD.
I don't know that game. Okay. Brand That's new. Why I spaced out. Yeah. I don't. Again, I didn't start really playing games until I hit the PS2 era, and I didn't play very many of that era.
No.
But that's the original Xbox era.
Yeah, it is.
I never played the original Xbox.
Yeah. I know, but you're like, well, it's from a period of gaming where I wasn't playing any games, but I was playing games on the PS2 at the time.
PS2 transcends time. That's basically what that means.
I went from the PS2 to the Xbox 360 fairly late in the 360's life. It was almost the Xbox One era at that point, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I usually get them pretty late. I think I got it when there was the... right before the Thin Elites came out is when I got my first Xbox altogether, my first 360, and it was one of them big fat fucking Elites the original time. And then like 2 or 3 months later they announced a thin one coming out. I was like, you motherfuckers. It is what it is. I got Splinter Cell Conviction. I'm good. I love the Splinter Cell games, so meh.
You wanna know what game I really loved?
Go on.
This is Guitar Hero. This is a segue. Knockout City. Some news about Knockout City. It's going to be going free to play, and EA is no longer going to be the publisher. They announced that there will be a loyalty bundle available for current owners that includes legendary cosmetics, XP boosts, and 2,000 holo bucks. Aki, you don't have to yawn every time there's news you don't care about.
I was yawning for real that time.
But it was because Knockout she City. Didn't care about the news.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't care about it either, but that time that was a legitimate yawn.
I really enjoyed my time with Knockout City. I might have to jump back in and see how it's going. They're doing a season 5 right now that's like a best of the first year.
Which one is that?
The dodgeball.
The dodgeball one. Jinx.
Oh.
Holy shit.
I was thinking it was a fucking boxing game. I was way off. Okay, never mind. I definitely don't know it then.
It's the 3v3 dodgeball online.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, I enjoyed what I played of Knockout City, but the fact that it's moving to free-to-play does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Like, it never felt like it had any real staying power to me. So the fact that it's moving to that model, I don't think is particularly surprising. Now, the fact that EA is no longer handling it, that kind of is. But maybe they're also viewing it as like the kind of like Rocket Arena.
Maybe they just want to wash their hands of the situation and let Velen Studios take care of things themselves.
Legitimately, the only thing I know about dodgeball is if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That's literally it. That's I don't know anything. Knowledge. I've never even played dodgeball in my life, so.
We used to play a game in middle school that is super dangerous, and I don't know how they let us do it, but it was frisbee dodgeball. So it was dodgeball, but with those hard-ass plastic frisbees, and we loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome game. Aren't dodgeball supposed
to be heavy or something?
No.
It
don't have to be. I mean, could be, but, huh.
They're usually, like, foamy, kind of, because it's kids whipping balls.
Oh, really? We had rubber ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were like heavier basketballs or something.
No, not basketball level.
But well, I remember when I was really young, they had the four square balls, the ones that boom.
That's what we played. That's what we had. But honestly, the frisbee one, I'm intrigued. I want to go back and now play that.
It was fantastic. We brought it back to the neighborhood as well. It was so much fun. I taught all the other kids how to play it.
Yeah. See, we lawsuits played beach pending. Ball.
Oh yeah, they're all dead now. All those kids are dead.
Yeah, we played beep ball. We didn't play
dodgeball. Beep ball?
Yeah. Well, you have to remember, I went to a blind school with a bunch of blind kids. You can't really throw a ball at their head because I'm blind, and I state that on a regular basis, you fucking putz.
I know, but I don't know what happened.
Was it a dodgeball accident?
You're blind! I went to a blind school. How do would I remember that?
Was it from getting hit in the face with a dodgeball? Is that what happened?
No, as I said, I've never played dodgeball.
That makes it less fun.
But maybe in parentheses, you never played dodgeball since the incident.
But beepball is basically a ball that you put has a button in it that makes it start beeping, and then you roll it in a dark room and people trying to hit people with it.
Oh, so it's like a sonar kind of thing almost?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So are you all like standing or are you like
you can it doesn't matter if you're standing or not because you're rolling it around trying to hit people with it
in a dark room. Was it padded?
I mean, they're all blind to begin with, so okay. I mean,
well, yeah, that's why it was darkened so that the kids like even me who had some sight, it would be even with the completely blind kids. So it was a completely dark room, but yeah, the whole room was padded.
The kids with some sight, aka the cheaters.
Yeah, you apparently a couple years after I left that school for a shitty public school, incredibly shitty school, they stopped playing it because too many kids got hurt.
I wonder why.
The blind kids were smart and knew how to fucking play it. All the sighted kids, they went after it hard, and there was a number of broken noses and even a couple broken arms. And yeah,
fucking normies.
Yeah, I. Yeah, no one in my class ever had that issue, so I was shocked to hear that there were so many injuries. I'm like, did everyone just get significantly more fucking retarded since I was there or something? What the hell? Oh, and apparently Lord. So. Apparently so.
And so anyway, that's all the news I have. Jacob, what kind of news do you have?
Out the Sonic bullshit. Go ahead. Just get it done.
Actually, I have Mass Effect news.
Oh, then I'm actually going to listen to you for once.
The next Mass Effect game is currently being prototyped. BioWare is emphasizing that they're caring more about quality. And they're asking for the community to be patient.
That is really, I think, the least one should expect is them caring about the quality of it.
Well, I think they're just eager to not have a repeat of Andromeda. So.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to see a clown say, "Man, my face is tired." Yeah, no one wants to see that. Just no. I'm glad they're focusing on fucking quality this time. God, that game's shit.
I don't know. I really liked it, but I didn't get to play it until a year after it came out, so they ironed out most of the bugs.
I liked its combat. Its combat was fantastic, and I liked a couple of the characters, how they were written, but the game overall, I did not like.
I got to fuck another Asari, so you know, it's all good.
Yeah, PB's pretty hot.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played the game. Did you hear that? Aki and I agree on something.
I know.
Well, of course we do. Asari are sexy. That's just life. There we go.
But anyways, so continuing the part where Aki hates her life, more Sonic the Hedgehog 2 news.
Yeah,
we got three new character posters, and also the toy line got announced. So we're going to be getting a line of 4-inch figures of Robotnik, Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, which are all going to be available for $10. Plush toys, including an exclusive Target one of Sonic.
Is there at least a plushie of Tails?
Yeah, it's going to be Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles. I'll get regular plushies available at wherever you buy plushies. I don't know.
But I'm cool with a Tails.
But Target plushie gets like an exclusive 13-inch Sonic plush.
I don't give a shit about that.
So there's also going
Hockey
to be
likes
Walmart
13 inchers.
Yeah, 13 inch Sonic butt plug is what I heard.
Yeah, buddy.
Walmart is getting
to be awfully flexible.
Hey, I'm trying to make hockey here.
No one cares.
I do. This is
we
what I live
failing
for.
Failing miserably because all I've heard is something about a 13 inch butt plug, which was amusing, and that there's a Tails plushie, which makes me happy.
Well, guess what? We have new butt plugs for you. The Tornado biplane set, which is Walmart exclusive.
What the fuck that is?
Vehicle. I'm just fucking telling you. It's a vehicle that comes with exclusive Sonic and Tails figures.
Well, it has a tail figure. That's fine enough with me. Whatever.
Walmart exclusive.
Tails is the only character I like.
And then, for some reason, Target is getting a line of action figures that are the same size as the ones that come with the Tornado biplane set.
Is Tails part of it?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Tails be like Tails? Is a big part of the new movie. Like, why the hell wouldn't Tails? Oh, Jesus Christ, Aki.
What about me? What
about you?
What did I do?
You breathe.
If you would pay attention to the Sonic movie news, you would know that Tails is involved.
Well, I know he's in it, but that doesn't mean they're going to make a toy of him.
Are you fucking serious? Have you ever bought a toy of based on a movie? Seriously.
No, I haven't.
They release everything. Well,
all right, how many of these damn Gundam things do they have? You know that they'll make anything out of everything.
Exactly. There are significantly more Gundam models than there's ever been Gundams in TV shows.
Oh my god.
So there you go.
Anyway. So yeah. So that's a basic run. Oh, and also there's going to be an RC set of like Sonic on a snowboard.
Is there a Tails one?
No. I think the scene...
See, there you go, Joe.
Aki, if you had actually watched the trailer, you'd know that only Sonic and Knuckles are on snowboards. So maybe there'll also be a Knuckles one available later on. Who knows?
That reminds me, I totally forgot to watch the Sonic movie. I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
No, I said I was going to watch it, and I legitimately forgot. Shit.
Nobody can believe you now.
I'm going to go look that up right now so I have it to watch after.
Ryan, did you watch the Sonic movie?
Absolutely, it changed my life.
Legitimately, was it any good?
The way that I describe it, would I ever try to argue that it was a masterpiece of cinema? Of course not. Is it an entertaining movie? Yes. I was shocked with how much I actually enjoyed it. Like, it's fun. It's a bad movie that's a ton of fun, which I think is what you should expect from
Sonic. I don't even know if I'd say it's bad. Okay. I'd say it's average. I mean, I don't know. But speaking of bad movies, I actually watched the Dynasty Warriors movie. I didn't even realize it had gotten a stateside release.
Is it live action or animated?
It's live action, and is CGI in it.
Oh, no.
See, I would have told you not to watch that had you even brought that up to me. I could have told you that was going to be terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, like, you watch it, and you're just like... I mean, it starts off weird, like, so they're putting down, like, the Yellow Turban Rebellion, and, like they're raising up, like, these zombie soldiers to, like, you know, kill people, and, like, our three heroes, like, stop them, and I'm like, okay, cool, like, mystical, like, you know, shit is happening, all right, that's gonna be fine, and then it just ends up being this movie with a shitload of talking about, like, things that happened in the past, and, like, it intersperses with like amusing like little 5-minute battles here and there. And I was describing it to Joe as like the Chinese, like Lord of the Rings. And like, you think it's because it's going to be like an epic journey of, you know, stopping like this amazing, like this horrible evil and bringing back like this fallen kingdom into like its rightful glory. But no, it's actually a lot of people talking about history and standing in front of mountain ranges. And it's just,
Sounds significantly better than I otherwise thought it was going to be.
I watched it, and I was just like, this is, I mean, it's entertaining, but holy God, is it a bad movie? And it's just,
I am currently watching Sonic the Hedgehog.
What's amazing is that, like the movie was notorious because it took forever to get the movie shot. And then when you see the final film, you're just like, what the fuck? Why did this take you all so long? Like, everyone's just standing in front of mountains, and like the CGI, half the time it's not even finished. Like, it just, yeah.
You realize one is ever going to watch this to like compare notes with you, right?
That's what I'm warning everyone. It's on Netflix, but don't watch it.
I don't think anyone who would have watched that already knows it's going to be garbage and chose not to watch it because they already know how live action anything turns out when it comes to that. Here's the thing.
It made back five times its budget.
Fuck?
Yeah, it made back five times its budget.
Was its budget $2 or something?
You'd think. Like, it is, as I said, it is not a good movie, but it not only made back its budget like five times over, but then Netflix bought global rights to it. And I'm just like, holy shit, these guys are like swimming in money.
There's got to be some market for it that like watch that. It's like,
yeah, documentaries.
Yeah.
People because who like
I'd always heard, you know, like Adam Sandler gets shit on for making bad movies now, but apparently like, he's one of the most predictable box office draws of like the last 50 years. You know how much money it's going to make. You know how much money you can pay him. It's like printing money. So even if a lot of people don't like it, there's a certain faction of people that are always going to watch it. And maybe there's just a crew somewhere in the world that's like, this is what we wanted.
Well, think about it. I mean, like Adam Sandler is a perfect fucking example. Think about the two Grown Ups movies. Those were movies being filmed while Adam Sandler and his buddies were on vacation.
Yep.
Like, they got paid by Sony to be on vacation for like 3 or 4 months. And audiences fucking ate that shit up with a spoon. Like, have you watched those films? They are not good.
I think Sandler's brilliant. He basically just figured out a way to make millions of dollars hanging out with his friends.
Exactly. Well, that's what they are.
You guys ain't paying me shit right now. What am I doing wrong?
Well, I mean, are we your friend?
I mean, I don't get paid either, so.
Ryan just insinuated that we're his friends. Did you hear that?
I mean, we're butt plug friends. I mean,
that's as close to friends as you can ever get.
Does that mean you guys share the same butt plug, or
that's butt plug cousins, all right? That's a different phrasing.
Okay, so that's when you have a double-ended butt plug. Okay.
Jesus Christ, what is with this conversation tonight? We have viewers, and this is what we're doing to them?
Ass to ass.
Oh, Ryan, do you have any news?
I don't, man. I wish I could have announced something. I've been very sad the last couple of days going through 3DS and Wii U eShops trying to figure out if there's anything I need to have since that's closing down.
I mean, you still have a year for that.
Well, I mean, kind of. You have 2 months before you could stop using credit cards and then like 6 months before you could stop adding eShop credit. So it's a little tricky on that. I'm just trying to get it done with now so I don't got to worry about it later.
That's
Everyone
fair.
Should watch Requiem for a Dream. That was a good movie. And not just because of the ass for ass scene at the end.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was a good scene. So... Don't get me wrong, but the whole movie was good, too.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I really enjoyed the film. It was definitely one of the best films that I saw during that era. But holy shit, Jennifer Connelly's eyebrows annoy the fuck out of me. I'm just putting that out there. The woman... Holy shit. Did you see the movie?
She's like, I was just watching ass.
Yeah, I barely remember that movie at this point.
You're the one talking about it.
I know, but I barely remember
it. Was so good.
Yeah, oh, you were the one who blew over the poor state of the 3DS and Wii U eShops.
Well, that's because I don't care about that shit. Don't
know. Oh, well, I don't care about Jennifer Connelly's ass. How about that?
You're a liar. You're a liar. Everyone cares about Jennifer Connelly's ass.
Guys, shut up. My wife can hear me right now.
So, should we get to reviews? We have a lot of games to talk about. Should we dive into these?
Do we have to?
Yes. Well, no, you can leave if you want.
All right, I will.
I mean, we can all agree to bail, like right now.
No, I'm not going to bail, but at least now I won't have to wait to do my reviews.
Oh, geez. Okay, let's get to these. First game to talk about, Ryan, you're going to stick around because you're talking about this one.
Yeah.
Super Toy Cars Off-Road, developed and published by Eclipse Games, released February 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $19.99. Coming soon to Switch, PS4, and PS5. Super Toy Cars Off-Road brings the series off the beaten track and into the mud, sand, snow, and more. Find your way in this fast-paced arcade racing game where you control miniature off-road cars that speed through amazing tracks populated with supersized everyday objects. Ryan, tell us about your time with Super Toy Cars Off-Road.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is there a supersized butt plug?
Jesus Christ.
there was a lot of things around the environment that, if real, could have been butt plugs.
That's all I needed to know.
So, that being said, this is a must buy.
Pretty much.
Just what if for the butt plug.
Yeah, just like, tell me, is there anything that could be a butt plug? All right, I'm in.
Well, I mean, that is what you do with butt plugs, so yeah.
Exactly. I did my best to enjoy this game. I did not. It's a game that feels, I guess the best way that I kind of put it into perspective for myself, it feels half finished. Like there's some interesting ideas. I think the vehicle selection is very cool. The upgrading is nice, but a lot of there's no real progression, it feels, in the game, which was a little frustrating. There's like maybe five or six different types of races. There's just destroy as much as you can, standard races, races without power-ups, elimination, time trial. Like there's just basic stuff, and those by themselves are fine. But that's really all you do the entirety of the game is just you move on to the next cup and it's more random races and you beat that and then you move on to the next one. Like I said, it feels half finished. Like there'll be times where you're kind of playing and you're like, okay, I see what they were doing here. And then you realize the controls are terrible and you can't like make turn, you know, like it's like, it's so close to being it. The drifting is not very intuitive.
Yeah, I could not get the drifting down at all. I like barely scraped through the drift races that they have just by the skin of my teeth. I was not very good.
Yeah. There's one achievement for, and I'm sure some people listening care about the achievement part of it. There's an achievement for getting first place in a drift race, and I lucked into it. Like that's kind of, I don't know why it worked the time I did. You have to get lucky with the AI being bad as well. Oh my God.
Yeah, you do. Like, honestly, and I had it set to easy in the very first race I had, I got eighth place. And then it was like the AI suddenly realized, oh wait, shit, I'm supposed to be doing this on easy. And then it felt like it let me be in second place. And I never got anything higher than second place in any of my races. Like,
I got a fair number of wins. I didn't like, it felt like I said this to the dev. I can't remember if he confirmed it or not. It felt like there was an adaptive AI where the worse you did, the easier it got.
Yeah, I could see that. It always felt like, you know, kind of like Jacob said, I would have one of the kind of cups or whatever they are where I would get three first places and I'm like, okay, I'm finally getting the hang of this game. And then I would get a seventh. And I don't feel like, and that was with my car being now more powered up because I upgraded it in between, and now suddenly I was worse.
It felt like you would get punished for doing well. Like I don't know. Like my main gripe with it, and the thing is that I didn't really mind the controls as much. I enjoyed like the level design and stuff, but my thing was that the power ups, honestly, they felt uninspired, and then they were also too far and too few and far between, like in the levels, to make any real meaningful impact ever.
Yeah. Very rarely did a power up actually like come in clutch, where it helped me win a race or overtake somebody or fend somebody off. The other thing that I found a little, I guess, disappointing is it felt like, so the controls would be bad, like turning in some of the vehicles was nearly impossible. And it felt like for me, a winning strategy would just be to constantly reset my position by holding Y to get myself back on the center. Like I started winning races basically by spamming that, which, you know, nice if you're trying to win the races, not so great if like that's what you, I felt I had to rely on in some cases, was just because you can just get destroyed. Like a car would just bump you, you'd end up backwards, and it's like, well, I just reset right away, and you're, then you're good. Like if you tried to actually like work your way back into it, they're already half a lap ahead of you. So,
and there's no way to catch up once someone gets really far ahead, which was another issue that came up during the interview. I mentioned there needs to be some kind of power up that targets first place. Like you hate the blue shell, but it's needed.
Yeah, the blue shell makes that. That's why Mario Kart is such a popular party game. It gives a sense that you're still in it, even if you're not in it. And I felt with this game, it just takes you getting bumped and you get caught off the road a little bit and caught behind something in the environment. And well, might as well just, I'm going to be replaying this anyway, so whatever. Yeah.
That constantly happened to me.
Yeah. Like I said, like there was enjoyment to be had in this game. Like. When you start to get the hang of it a little bit, like, and you're not getting kind of cheesed in like in really annoying ways, I could see where this would be a fun game. And I know it's an indie developer, and like I'm not trying to compare it to, you know, someone that has a team of 1,000 programmers on it, but it felt like it just needed a little more time in the oven to be a good game.
What would you do to improve it?
Well, we talked about it a little bit just when we were kind of casually talking about it. You need to be able to change the camera, for starters. I think that would actually fix some of the control problems, because the camera is basically your vehicle's butt plug. Like that is how close to your vehicle it feels sometimes. Yeah. So you can't even. I found myself half the time just watching the map to kind of know where, because like if you're watching the screen, you're too close to your vehicle to really be able to react a lot of times. No. So I was just watching the mini map a good chunk just to see like, oh, okay, I have a turn coming up, so I need to be ready for it.
Which thankfully there's a good mini map in this game. Yeah. A lot of race games don't have any kind of mini map, or they have a really shitty one. This one at least is helpful.
Yeah. I will give credit there. The mini map is very nice. I mean, it helped me win races just being able to watch that. So it's very good. So the camera issues would be one. And just really for me, it was just controls. I just feel they need to be fine tuned a lot more. And maybe it's unfair, but I've also been playing a lot of, like, when you play something like Forza Horizon 5 and then you're trying to play something like this, and I know they're not supposed to be the same type of game, but even for like an arcade racer, it doesn't feel very, very smooth at all. And I think a racing game needs to have smooth controls more than anything.
Jacob, any thoughts?
As to what I'd improve?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would honestly just want to go back to the drawing board on the power-ups. I mean, because some of them, I thought they were really cool ideas, like how you could select like something on the map to throw at your opponents. And I think that's a really cool like take on like, you know, green shells and all that kind of stuff, like that you see in every fucking like kart racing game, or like, you know, arcadey racing game that has like a battle feature to it. But the problem was is that it just never felt useful, and like I almost never hit my targets or anything. And so it's just like I would recommend going back to the drawing board on those, but also examining like the maps and like the placement of them, and having them more like, just having them out there more. Like, it's not a fun game if it's just like you, like there's only like 3 chances per lap to hit the power-ups. And I don't know. It's just, I thought it had a lot of fun ideas. The controls were but I think it wasn't balance my favorite.
Needs to be worked on.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
And also, like the AI, as I said, it felt like the AI was punishing you for doing decently. No. I want that either somehow fixed or just removed.
Let me pick easy and play on. Like, I just want to win. I don't want to do this bullshit competitive racing. I just want to fucking win.
Yeah. I mean, again, to not that they're trying to be the same type of game, but that's one of the things I love about the Forza games. For me, they're my chill out games. I'm not trying to be a competitive pro level racer on those. I want to put it on a low difficulty and just see the environments and collect cool cars and get some achievements and have some fun. And then it would be not like if you put it on difficult and you want that challenge, great. it honestly didn't feel like the difficulties mattered all that much, truthfully.
Well, the game's $20. What are your official verdicts?
I'd give it. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Jacob.
I'd give it a try. It like it's not the best, but it's not also not the worst out there.
Really? That honestly surprised me. I thought for sure you would say deny it.
No, I mean, it's like the thing is, I don't view it as a bad game. Like it just it needs tweaking, and that's why I'm giving it a try it. I think it has a lot of potential. It really needs to keep being worked on.
All right, Ryan, what about you?
I would give it a deny it with the parentheses unless you find it under $10.
For
$20, I could not recommend this to anybody. You get it on sale for $9.99 or less. I think it's worth a look.
Cool.
Like I said, I there's fun to be had there. And if you're a completionist, it took me under 8 hours to do everything. And that's even with the frustrations. So it's not like you're going to have something on your card you can never get through.
No.
But for 20, deny it. Less than 10, try it.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for you, Ryan. Thank you so much for coming on, hanging out with us and chatting with us.
Absolutely. Anytime. Except for last week when I felt like shit.
I would say give us some plugs, but I'm afraid of where that's going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to give you all plugs, baby. Cripplethreat.com, Cripplethreat8 on all the social media stuff. Working on a YouTube channel that I'll be able to announce some stuff on soon that I'm excited about. Come see me on tour. I'm doing a lot of corporate events coming up, which are always fun that you can
you casually sell come out.
To. Oh, 100%. Oh my God, they're the best. I told my agent recently, because like comics hate doing that. Artistically, they're not always fulfilling, but man, you get paid for one day what you might take 4 days to get paid for it otherwise.
Oh, geez.
So I told my agent basically, I was like, if nobody else wants to do them, please let me. If I can work 4 days a month and just get to play video games and hang out with my wife and my dog and just do nerd stuff here, absolutely make that happen.
Sounds like a win.
But so yeah, how long until we get a Cripple Threat butt plugs?
I'm thinking about it. So I don't do the joke anymore. But I used to do a joke about, and this joke doesn't make a lot of sense about what I look like, but basically why anyone should date me is because my hand is basically a heated dildo.
I remember that joke.
At the time it was a little bit too niche of a thing to make, but I was thinking about molding, getting a mold of one of my hands and like maybe having like a limited edition, like 20. That I could sell.
Do it! That's fantastic.
You don't even need to do that. You just get a 3D printer.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to do now. I'll tell y'all what. If I make that happen, all three of you are getting a free Ryan Nemo.
Yes!
Yes!
Woo!
I will hang it above my bed.
Good.
I will give a customer review.
That's what I like to hear. Yeah, it better get a try it, at least. At the very least.
All right, well, I guess that is it for you. We will let you get going.
All right. Always a pleasure. Always an pleasure. All right.
Have yourself a good night, Ryan.
later, friends. We'll talk soon.
All right, next game to talk about is Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires, developed by Koei Tecmo Games, published by Koei Tecmo America, released February 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. There's some free DLC available that Jacob will detail in depth. Engrave Your Life on the Battlefield, a new release for the Empire series, which allows users to enjoy both the thrill of 1 versus 1,000 action and the intricacy of country conquering simulation. Jacob, tell us about your time with Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires.
You know, I love the Dynasty Warriors series. I mean, I've played them since Dynasty Warriors 3, but I never really dabbled into the Empire series until now. Yeah, I gotta say, it's kind of bizarre playing this. Honestly, it feels like this might be like the Madden of the series, where it's just like, if you didn't start playing 20 years ago, you can go fuck yourself. And it's just like, so it takes the Dynasty Warriors idea, which is based on the huge historical novel Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and you're essentially just trying to unite all of ancient China together. And you have various characters that you're able to do this with. I think it's like 94 different historical characters all throughout Chinese history. Pretty much, like, you could choose this one person, and then you decide what territory you're going to start off your empire in, and then you can start recruiting people. And there is a lot involved with this. So you could, like, recruit people, you can, like, grow crops, you can, like, start devising strategies, you can do all this diplomacy. And the game really does not hold your hand with this. It expects you to have played previous versions. So that's where I'm coming from with the Madden comparison.
So you just had no clue what the fuck you were doing.
I conquered another, like, territory, and I'm just like, cool. I don't know how I did that. Like, I just kind of ran around the map. Like, I mean, I tried building my empire, and, like, part of the neat thing is that you could go on strolls with like one of your other soldiers, and it's, like, supposed to help build, like, a bond between the two of you, you know, just bros being bros. And, like, there's all sorts of stuff that you could do on it. Like, you could talk to other officers, you can recruit officers from other areas. And you can also just run around the countryside, and, like, there's bandits you can kill. And if you kill enough of these bandits, like, the person that you're with will be like, oh, holy shit, like, you've killed 150 people. I'm going to give you this gift that's going to help you out later. And there's also, like, wildlife in the area. So I couldn't really quite figure it out if I was killing, like, wild wolves or if they were, like, dogs that were raised by, like, their thieves that I was killing. That wasn't really all too clear. But then I also killed tigers and bears. Oh my.
Oh my.
Yeah. I didn't mean to end up setting that one up, but I did. Anyway. But yeah, I really had no idea what I was doing. And then, like, after a year of my empire existing, I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. It's time to go conquer this other place. And so I did. And pretty much it was just, you run around to various areas, kill a bunch of people. Your guys take over that area. Like, you run over to, like, their siege weapons. You take care of that. And then eventually you break down, like, the castle walls, hopefully, if you're doing okay. And then you have to run in there, and you'll have some sort of quote unquote epic battle, which was really just me killing everyone inside the castle really quickly. And then you just keep doing that.
Rinse, repeat.
Yeah. And so, like, it was fun. It was weird because I really didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I got an achievement though, because I did really well in the battle.
I got an achievement. Are you proud of me?
Yeah. It was just like, well, it was something like, keep up to 90% of your forces alive during a battle. And apparently I did it. Like, nice. So go me. But yeah, so it's definitely not the same as a regular Dynasty Warriors one, but it's, I mean, I really wish I was new. I knew what the hell I was doing, but I had a lot of fun with it.
Well, the game's sitting at $60. What are your thoughts on it?
So there are two different versions of this game. There is a regular base version at $60. There's also a deluxe version that's sitting at, I think it's either 100 or 110. And it comes with a season pass. I have no idea what the fuck all is included with the season pass.
Yeah, it's $109.99.
Okay. For $60, I mean, this is the standard thing. I mean, that's what it's going to cost. If you're a fan of the Dynasty Warriors series, yeah, give it a try. If this is going to be your first time, you might want to, like, go with, like, a main entry. Like, check out Dynasty Warriors 9 before you try Empires, because this one has a bunch of strategy that isn't really explained. So,
no.
I mean, if you do want to check this out, maybe check out, like, I'm sure that there's somebody out there with, like, YouTube tutorials on it, you know, and watch those, because I sure as hell didn't, and that probably would have been a good thing for me to do. But then you can at least grasp the understanding of, like, how the hell the game works. I had a lot of fun. I'd recommend it. And I also just want to say there is some DLC that is currently available for free until February 28th. As far as I can tell, it's just costume stuff for various. I can't tell if it's soldiers or characters. I just don't know. but it's free DLC for the time being. You have till the 28th to download it. So even if you're sitting on the fence and being like, I'm just going to wait for a sale, to get it DLC. Now while you can. Yeah, yeah. Just just grab it. So
that's what she said. Next game to talk about, Tux and Fanny, developed and published by Ghost Time Games, released February 25th on Xbox One for $9.99. Tux and Fanny just want to play soccer, but their soccer ball is deflated. Go on an epic adventure to help them inflate their ball. Play as both Tux and Fanny, as well as a cat and a flea. All four characters will have to work together if you're going to inflate the ball. Jacob, did you inflate the ball?
I did not.
You
not
piece yet, anyway. Of shit.
I wish I could accurately describe this game, but...
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots. I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at.
This is a hell of a weird game. So it starts off as like a retro adventure game from like the 1980s. And then it's just like it, I mean, at some point it turns into like a puzzle game. It's also a point and click adventure. And other times it's kind of like an action adventure-y kind of game. And sometimes it has a very retro appearance, but then sometimes it also looks like a claymation thing. And, you know, you're controlling like the main two characters, Tux and Fanny, but then there's also the cat. But then sometimes you're also controlling a flea that's on the cat, and it's just really fucking bizarre. Like and the thing is that I don't want to, it's a difficult game to discuss too, because it's just, you don't want to give away too much, because the game is full of surprises, and it's just, it's also just a really fucking weird game.
Now,
continuing on
of the description, this might help with the you know, explaining the game a little bit, is play a multitude of diverse mini games, which you'll collect as you progress through your journey, each with their own unique rewards. There are secrets hidden at every turn in the world of Tux and Fanny. Can you find them all? So this sounds like a game that is just hiding a lot.
There's even like a wall that doesn't exist, but it does exist, and it also has a secret in it.
So is there an achievement?
Like, oh God, like
achievements. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, there's achievements for finding some of this stuff, but it's just like, oh God, like it is just a really bizarre game, and you might like. I mean, I really enjoyed what I got to play with it. But you might want to bring a guide with it.
You struggling to find words for that. You just it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird. I don't know what to say about this game.
Yeah, it's just like, here's the thing. I mean, longtime listeners will know that like my game of the year, I split it up into quarters. This is definitely a contender for quarter one of this year.
Really?
It is. But it's like, it's just, it's such an odd game that it almost feels like three different people were working on it at three different points in like video game history. And it just, it somehow is a mishmash of just like, it works, but it doesn't work.
Well,
And God, I just, it's just one of those games you just have to fucking play it yourself. Like, there's just no other way to put it.
No, it's $10. Should people play it?
Oh my God, absolutely. For $10. I'd even, cheap ass Jacob would even pay 20.
Look at you.
Tux and Fanny is not so much a game, but an experience, I guess is the easiest way to put it.
You're just trying to get on a box quote.
God, I wish.
Next up is Mages and Treasures, developed by Light Up, published by Rattle Lake Games, released February 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. Play as a powerful mage on a magical adventure to get back your most beloved treasure from evil hands. Jacob, what's Mages and Treasures?
So pretty much it's a very like old school Zelda-esque game, and you just have to run around. And it's pretty much you just walk around. The game thankfully like does hold your hand a little bit with explaining like, oh, you have to do this to get to this. But you know, it's the standard kill critters, pick up stuff, figure out puzzles, like, you know, that usually involve like putting stuff on pedestals or just killing enough critters to like make a door open, getting keys, which will open up new areas, or treasure stuff, and then, you know, be like eventually finding the boss and beating the boss. That being said, I did as well on this game as I did with the old school Zelda games, which is not very well. Like, and Joe before this was saying like, oh, I got my $1,000 on this. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, buddy. Because this is something I will never achieve, probably. But
like, how are you having a hard time with it? What's
it's just like, pretty much it's just like one hit from the enemies kills off like half of your health in like one go. And it's just, I'm not surviving particularly well or making my way across. Now, I'm shooting those little alien monster things, you know, with my stuff. And it's just, I also find it weird that like, oh, well, they're like, here's the key, but if you used it to open this, then you're totally fucked on everything else and you have to go find more. I don't know. I'm having
well, the some gold keys and the it. Silver keys are different. Like the silver keys are the progress. The gold keys are basically worthless because you usually just unlock a chest that gives you money, and it's not a lot of money.
No, and so you end up having to go through like areas and like walking out, walking back in. So then the grass resets, and then you get more money.
I got my money achievements before anything else in this game because I just walked through the grass constantly.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
My biggest gripe with this game is like I feel like I've played it before.
I mean, usually I steer clear of these kind of games, so I didn't have that kind of feeling, but it's just I was not particularly good at it. I don't know. I mean, what did you think of the difficulty for it?
I didn't think it was that difficult. I made it, you know, the achievements in the game are only making it through two bosses.
There's an easy setting on it though, isn't there? I think there is.
Probably.
If it's because I'm having to review like 7 games today, so I might be blending some of these together.
Oh,
if I remember correctly, there is shut up. If I remember correctly, there is like an easy setting, and I only discovered that like the other night. So I may need to go back and do that. So hopefully, I will suck less. But I mean, for $5, no, you won't. I mean. Well, yeah. I will try to finish this.
Like, I really do feel like I've played this game somewhere before. I don't know if I have. I don't know if there's.
Do you think like it's a reskin of something?
I don't know. It just feels like I've played this. Like pushing the barrels. The dev. Carnage is saying the dev put out a few, and they are all kind of similar. Let me pull up the. Yeah, Barry the Bunny, Super Box Land, Mina and Michi, Prehistoric. They're all fairly similar, but they're fun. I like them. They're cute. They're enjoyable. They don't bring anything like new to the table, but they were a fun diversion for a half hour.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I mean, honestly, if you're looking for like an old school Zelda title, like on Xbox, I mean, this is a good suggestion, especially for, I think you said it costs $5.
Yep, $5. What is your official verdict?
If you're into those kind of games, then yeah, it's definitely a buy it, especially at $5. Otherwise, I'd put it as a try it, perhaps if you're not so good at the old school Zelda games. But, you know, I had fun. I mean, I generally had fun with what I was playing. Yeah. Once I started getting killed regularly, not so much, but...
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's worth picking up. My biggest gripe is it just feels too familiar. I think the dev needs to try doing something a little bit more different with their upcoming releases because it feels too samey. But it's still $5, so why not? Fuck it, why not? Buy it. $5.
$5?
$5. Next up, Mecha Bolt Plus, developed by SunPX, published by Rattlake Games, released February 14th on Series X and S and PS5 for $4.99. The robots have gone haywire. They stopped obeying orders. You can take the role of a theme park technician. With your handy Mecha Bolt, you can deactivate the robots, use it to your advantage, use them as platforms, ride them, or use them to overcome obstacles. Don't forget the batteries. You need to collect them to repair the robots at the end of each level. Jacob, what is Mecha Bolt Plus?
So pretty much, you play as this woman who is, I mean, it's part of as you described. Like, you're working at this robot park and everything should be going great, but oh no, all the batteries are missing. So you have to recover all the batteries, which are strewn over like a ton of levels. And each, like, the game does try to hold your hand with introducing each new type of bot. Like, one of them, if you use your like little gun to freeze it in place, it will act as like a springboard. Another one acts as a cannon. You can determine if it shoots left or right, so on and so forth. However, there is also other obstacles, like mostly in the form of spikes, but also in flammable leaves and stuff like that throughout the levels. And pretty much you just have to get from point A to point B, and there is some strategy involved with figuring out how to make the bots, you know, do your bidding, even though they hate your guts and will kill you instantly. But thankfully, the game has like infinite retries. So, you know, it's most of the time it just feels like, oh shit, I didn't plan this correctly. Like, it never felt like the game was being cheap.
Yeah.
And that was a nice thing that, you know, it was just like, I could look at it and it was like, oh yeah, I was a dumbass and I didn't jump at the right time. Or, you know, I just didn't time that shot correctly. That being said, I mean, it's a nice time waster. Like, it's a good pick up and play. Like, you know, you clear a couple levels, go back to doing something else, come back the next day, you know, conquer some more of the game again. The achievements are fairly easy in this. So if you're an achievement whore, you know, definitely yeah,
You only got to get through, I think, half the game for all the achievements.
Yeah. So, but that being said, for $5, I mean, I definitely recommend it. You can't really go wrong on it.
My only gripe with this one is, again, another sense of sameness. But that's because this is a re-release. They took the original Mecha Bolt, added in the new challenge stages, and re-released it. The new challenge stages have you playing as a different guy who gets to actually pick up the robots and set them places instead of shooting them in place. It's a fun twist on the gameplay. It's nice that they included this stuff. If you own the original Mecha Bolt, I don't think you need to rebuy it, but if you haven't played it, I think it's worth picking up. Even if you did play the original, it's only $5 and it's on sale for $4. So, I mean, what the hell?
There you go.
Last game for you to talk about is a preview of Moolander, developed and published by the Sixth Hammer, demo released February 18th on Xbox. Ever wondered what a cow overlord would look like? Moolander is an action-adventure RPG with Metroidvania elements featuring an epic story about cows and milk. Jacob, what'd you think about the demo for Moolander?
So pretty much you're playing this alien that's crash landed on a planet, and I couldn't really get the vibe whether it's like the aliens are tiny or the cows are bigger. But anyways, you just have to move. You know, through the levels, and avoid different obstacles. You know, now the demo didn't really let us check out all of the upgrades and stuff like that. And I know that you are supposed to move through the game. Yeah, I'll just leave that one go. Anyway.
Good.
Don't have a cow, Joe.
I hate dads, and this shit is why.
Now, Aki, you're just being utterly preposterous about that. Get it? Utterly.
So, what are you doing?
I'm really gonna milk this for all it's worth.
Okay, so this game is obviously a deny it because no one can be this fucking insufferable if they like a game. So let's move on to the next review.
Let's move on. Anyway, so pretty much you're just moving through the level in your little UFO, and you're trying to avoid different obstacles. It's standard stuff, like, you know, stuff falls from the ceilings and makes an explosion, and you are eventually introduced to plants that can heal your ship, which I don't really understand how that works, but whatever. And you can kind of cheese it at the beginning, because that one obstacle that I told you, you know, it keeps shooting stuff down at the ground. it gives your plant, it gives your ship some sort of an upgrade eventually if you collect enough of like specimens from it or something like that, which I know you're not supposed to get until later in the game, but
were you grinding?
Myself out. Yeah, I was grinding in the demo. But anyways, eventually you're upgraded to this milk shield thing, which is a shield that you can aim for a limited amount of time, and it prevents stuff from hitting your ship. And that's honestly where I started having the most problem, because I was trying to move my ship while also aiming my shield in the correct way, and it just got difficult real fucking fast. I
wouldn't have too much of a problem with it if it was just point the stick in a direction and the shield pops up, but you have to hit X to activate the shield and then use the right analog stick to move it around. If they would have mapped that to a trigger or a bumper, or to just move the analog stick, it would have been a lot better. It was just really difficult to maneuver.
Yeah. It got difficult real quick. And while I was enjoying the challenge for a bit, but it just, the amount of times I was dying because of stuff, like, cause I was just hitting stuff in the walls, or, I just got killed real quick. Once you get the shield, all of a sudden it just ramps up the difficulty. And I just got annoyed with it. It's worth checking out. I mean, that might be your cup of tea, but I wasn't exactly the biggest fan of it. But I'm not going to lie, it might just be because I sucked at it.
Yeah, I got fairly far through the demo. I got to this area that had a rock on basically a seesaw covering a hole, and I couldn't figure out how to get through it.
Did you try pushing down on the seesaw?
I did. And it didn't do anything for me, but maybe I'm missing something. I tried like having the plants spawn on the one side of the seesaw to try and weigh it down, but then I couldn't kill them on the other side of the seesaw.
Those spawning plants were such fucking hell. I hated them so much. Like how it's just like, oh, well, it shot a seed. Now you've got like 8 fucking plants in a row. Like, and you're just going to die immediately. I hated that so fucking much. Like,
And every time a bullet would be coming at me, my shield would be like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah. Like there was just never like, it felt like you had to like do more, I don't know, like finagling of the shield. And like, instead of being able to actually travel through the level properly. And so by the time that you finally got yourself into a position that you felt like, okay, my shield's in the right place, it's not dead yet, you were already dead because now there's like 7 different plants like just shooting their shit at you. And it just, it for me, it stops being fun real quick. I mean,
no, I'm eager to see what the final release is like. If this is just like a slice of the game that didn't really click well, or if this is truly the beginning that I'm struggling with, I don't know. We'll see. This is just a free demo. Is it worth people downloading the demo to check it out?
I mean, I would recommend checking it out. I mean, as we said, it's a demo. It's not the finished product. There's still time for stuff to get fixed or get ironed out. And as I said, like, it may just be I suck at this kind of game.
No.
I fully admit that is definitely a possibility on it. So, it didn't really feel like a game for me, but, you know, plenty of other people might enjoy it a lot. So,
you know, it's for you. These nuts.
Damn it.
Yeah. All right, that's it for you. Are you got any final words before you get the hell out of here?
Well, we got some more wonderful news. Apparently, there's now going to be a live-action Beyblade movie.
Ew, no, that sounds terrible.
Jerry Bruckheimer is going to be producing it.
Why? That means nothing to me.
I don't fucking know why they're making it.
Who is he, and what else has he been? He made? So I know how much I hate him.
Jerry Bruckheimer is the guy responsible for producing like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and shit like that.
Well, it could be okay-ish. I'm not going to say it's going to be garbage. It's not going to be the greatest thing in the world, but it should be okay-ish.
Raider biz. Next time when you ask Jacob for any last words, just hang up on him.
Yes.
All right, go do tweets. Aki, you ready?
Yeah.
Are you going to yawn your way through all these?
I don't know. I think I should yawn through our first review.
Do it. I'm hoping the reviews will wake me up. I am so fucking tired and I don't know why. Other than the fact that I had like 4 hours of sleep. If it weren't for the 4 hours of sleep,
I probably would be okay. Yawn?
That sounded more like he was jerking off, but whatever.
That sounded like he came. That really did.
That woke me up with disgust, so I guess it worked. Thank you.
Cool. Well, your first game to talk about is Ghost on the Shore, developed by Like Charlie, published by Ash Games, released February 24th on Steam for $19.99. An exploration game about emotional ties that transcend even death. Riley is faced with a headstrong ghost urging her on an adventure across atmospheric shores, uncovering the island's tragic secret. Choices and dialogue shape the bond between the two, ultimately deciding Riley's fate. Aki, what's going on in Ghost on the Shore?
Okay, and this you play as Riley. Riley is a stupid, stupid bitch. There you go. That's good information to have. She has decided to buy a houseboat, which ironically is not what you're fucking in. It is not a houseboat. So there's that. And she has gone on her maiden voyage, not knowing how to, you know, use a boat. She, for some reason, thought that was a good fucking idea. She does not think very far. I think further than she does, and that's
that's sad. That is.
Yeah, and she came into a storm, and she blames it on the barometer. But I don't think she knows how to use a barometer any fucking way. So, and she nearly crashes her boat, but a voice in her head helps her figure out how to get there, which she promptly argues with for a while. And then she realizes, oh, it's a ghost. I'm not crazy. I still think she's crazy. And I've beaten the game. I still think she's crazy. And basically, all you're doing for this entire thing is it's a walking sim. Mostly, you go around, you try to find your way into rooms and stuff. You find little collectible items like old letters and photos and shit like that that you can look at that tell you more about the game's history. And other than that, you're really just talking with this annoying dude ghost who won't shut the fuck up or go the fuck away. And eventually, there's some twists and turns because you're trying to figure out why he died so he can move the fuck on and go the fuck away. Takes forever, and I don't think he ever fucks off, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. it's just learning about this sleepy little island town, hovel. I don't know what you would call it. There's like a dozen houses on this entire island or something, and none of them are fucking inhabited by anyone but this one asshole ghost who won't shut up. And you figure out about other people have come here, and you know, you learn about the original people who lived here, and it's interesting to learn about the place. It's a pretty nice, sweet little story-ish, and I really wish that ghost would just fuck off.
Raider Biz says we need a fuck counter for when you do reviews to see how many times you say fuck per review.
A lot. I think I've already hit like five or no, I've done more than five this time.
Yeah,
I usually don't do as many as I'm doing right now. I fucking can't stand this fucking ghost. But yeah, so that's pretty much all it is. It's mostly a walking sim, but you're learning about all the people's lives. And they're actually kind of interesting, even though the ghost won't shut the fuck up. He does tell you some useful, cool information, because you eventually start to learn that, yeah, he did know these people that were, like, alive 100 or so fucking years ago. God, I've said fuck a lot. Now that I'm listening to myself, I have said fuck a lot. Ah, Jesus.
You should listen to an episode sometimes. It's actually kind of impressive how many times you could say it in one episode. We really should get someone to count sometime.
it's amazing how many times I can say it in a within like a 10-second span, because I just said fuck like earlier like 5 or 6 times within 10 seconds.
Yeah. So $20 on Ghost on the Shore, what do you think?
As much as I didn't like the ghost, and nor does Riley, I really enjoyed the entire experience, really. Because whilst he is kind of irritating at first, and he
fucking
does
Riley, yeah,
that's kind of the point, because he does the exact same to Riley, and then she mouths off to him, and that's fantastic. And I think especially at the ending, there's a nice twist that I did not expect. So, yeah, I'm all for it. It was really good.
Cool. All right. Next up is Epitasis, developed and published by Epitasis Games, released February 24th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $14.99. Having discovered an ancient portal, you take a leap of faith and suddenly find yourself amidst the remnants of an ancient alien civilization. Cryptic puzzles, forgotten technologies, and treasured relics are riddled among the beautiful wilderness that has engulfed the remains of this fallen race. If you are to learn their secrets, you must unearth the fate of the civilization that called these lost worlds home. Aki, what is Epitasis?
It is an open world puzzle game. That's pretty much it. And
Is it good?
Was it good? That is a question. It was serviceable. I can't say that I particularly disliked it or liked it. It was a really quick,
Well, what do you do in the game? Like, what the hell is it?
Mostly you're walking around and clicking the right trigger a bunch. You use that button to pick up large squares that you drop on pressure plates, or you're using it to grab a rod and placing the rod, or using it to call a drone in to push basically push a fucking button for you because you're not able to push it. And with that, you're trying to open different doors in order to grab some weird fucking little geometric shape. So you can set it in another device to do fucking something. And there's a hexagon, a circle, a triangle, a square. And I think there's another one, but I'm not sure anymore, because this game took me like 2.5-3 hours. And I just ran right through it. It's very, very simple.
So it's a quicken, like, I'm guessing this is an easy achievement kind of game.
Oh, yeah. This is without a walkthrough. I didn't use a single walkthrough for any of this, and I looked around a lot, and it only took me a few hours because I was trying to figure out how to get a couple of the achievements, and then I ended up getting it later. I was like, oh, that was a lot easier than I thought that was going to be. It's like one of the achievements is you have to find a drone, a friendly drone. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to scour every inch of every area I go through because it has to be somewhere. And then it's in a very obvious place. I was like, oh, well, I guess I didn't need to waste all that fucking time. So, yippee! but yeah, all of the puzzles are extremely easy. And if you do, for some reason, get stuck on them, because I did get stuck on one, namely because I accidentally put stuff in places where I then fell off of a ledge and then couldn't get back to them, you can actually reset any puzzle as long as you're right next to it.
That's cool.
Yeah, but this also goes with, you can also reset any of them that you've actually completed accidentally as well, and then you have to redo it. Not that it'll take you any fucking time. I mean, I think the longest one took me like 5 or 6 minutes, and that was it. They're very small. You know, eventually you do get one small issue that there are some unfriendly drones and they can kill the ever-loving fuck out of you. And that doesn't really do much. It just spawns you back where you came from. I don't even remember if it actually resets the puzzle progress or anything. I don't think it does. So, yeah.
No, the game's $10. What do you think about it?
I thought it was pretty good. It's really quick.
Oh, wait, it's 15. I'm looking at the wrong one. It's $15. What do you think of Epitasis?
I I think it's good. I was fine with it. I would prefer it to be cheaper, like $8-ish, because again, it's really fast to go through. But for people who have money, unlike me, I totally say go for it, especially if you're an achievement hunter, because this bitch is easy.
It's pretty too. I like the visuals.
Oh yeah, it's very vibrant. It's not particularly
colorful,
detailed or anything, but it's nice and colorful.
No.
Yeah, all the puzzles are very simple. So it's, and every achievement is for getting one of the geometric shapes is what like 4 or 5 of the fucking achievements are, and there's like 12.
Nice. I think your fuck count was 7 on that one.
Oh, that's it? Oh, yeah. That's what you kept holding your finger up for.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fuck. Okay.
Next up is 35mm, developed by Sergey Noskov, published by some... What?
It's this... Just go ahead. You'll learn. You'll learn very quickly.
Okay, published by Sometimes You, release March 2nd, or it's coming out March 2nd on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch for $9.99. This adventure story will let you explore in more detail a number of interesting locations of post-apocalyptic Russia, filled with a variety of items and secrets. During the journey, you will collect supplies, food, batteries, and weapons, solve quests, and move forward on the plot, which has earned several variations in the final, depending on your actions. Aki, what is 35mm?
Okay, the first thing I want you to do is go look this game up on Steam for me real quick.
On Steam? Then,
yes, go look it up. It's been on Steam for forever. Okay. It's been on there for a few years. And click the developer and tell me the other two games they've made.
Because I've reviewed one of them. Seven Sector and The Light.
Okay, this one is based at the exact same place as In The Light, which I reviewed for us. Well, actually, I think I may have reviewed fucking both of them, but this is very nothing like Seventh Sector. It is based in the same exact world, same general time, even, as In The Light, because in it, there's actually an Easter egg achievement where you see the main character from In The Light moving around in the little building that they're in from that game, which is literally just one fucking building. So yeah, that was really interesting. Most of this game is a walking sim that is fairly slow. You can pick up stuff like health packs and food, which are just shittier health packs. So I don't know fucking why they exist in it. It's just like you have fucking food, which doesn't do anything but give you a little bit of health. But you also have fucking health packs, which give you a lot of health. Why not just give me more fucking health packs? Make my life a lot easier. And batteries for your flashlight, which you...
Your flashlight? What?
Flashlight. Flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
Like a flasher.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no fucking point to having any fucking batteries, because eventually when you use your... the fucking flashlight long enough, it starts to flicker because it's starting to die. But if you want to equip and re-equip it real quick, the flashing goes the fuck away for a little while and you can keep using it and it never just dies. So it's like there is no point to using any of these fucking batteries. They're so damn useless. Blah, blah, blah. Throughout this, you also can pick up notes and pictures. Yay! More fucking notes and pictures. Exactly what I wanted. And you're playing as this guy who's hanging around this other fucking dude. You don't know anything about either of these putzes. But you're trying to get somewhere. You don't even know where you're trying to fucking get until the end of the fucking game, which is a city. You're trying to get to a city. They could have told you that at the fucking start. They don't. And it's basically just walking from point A to fucking point B, and listening to these two dipshits talk. nothing they talk about is particularly interesting. It's just like general, like, oh, the B4 times were cool. Now kind of sucks. Oh, we should get going. It's getting late. We should hunker down. It's like, I don't fucking care about this kind of conversation. What the fuck? Go away. And, you know, occasionally your character goes to sleep and has some weird flashbacks and fuck up dreams, but that only happens twice, and the rest of the time you're fucking walking. You do get some weapons, for I believe one set of combat ever, and it's with a bunch of damn wolves in a tunnel, and I played that section for like an hour because the game glitched on me and wouldn't let me use my fucking weapons.
Oh, geez.
Not that that pissed me off or anything.
I can tell.
Oh, man. I about quit the game there. Actually, I did quit the game and I restarted it. And I was like, if it doesn't fix it, fuck this game. I'm done. And it fixed it. So I was like, okay, I'll continue. You're on fucking thin ice, you little bitch. And it was on thin ice the rest of the fucking time. That really made me angry. But yeah, you get a couple sections where it's like, oh, you can fight kind of. Like there's a little shootout with like three people, but you die so fucking quick that there's no point in you actually trying to shoot them because they'll just fucking obliterate you. So you're going to ignore that. And I think there's one other one besides for the wolves fight, but I don't actually remember where. But rest of it, it's just you learning the backstory of people, places that hold no bearing on anything and don't really connect to anything. Because it's like, oh, this is a note from this person to who fucking knows who about who fucking knows what. So whilst the letter is kind of interesting, it doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of anything, because it doesn't. It's kind of like if you went and found an like old people, they used to write letters to each other. If you just grabbed a letter from like 100 different
I
old people.
I used to write letters to people. What the fuck?
Well, you're
writing
old.
Letters isn't that old of a concept. Jesus.
Yes, it is. You're old.
Oh, God damn.
You grab it from 100 different people from around the country and just toss them on the ground and say, okay, they're going to pick up this one first and this one second. They don't really hold any meaning with each other at that point. They're all just kind of, none of them had anything to do with each other in the first place anyways. So it's like, it gives a little bit of background information about what's happened to the world, but it doesn't really matter at all. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer that way.
Well, this one's sitting at $10. What do you think of this one?
It's an easy game to complete if you're an achievement whore, but otherwise, I have to say deny it, because like it didn't have a particularly amazing story, and none of the collectibles, whilst they told you little bits about how life is, they didn't really connect to anything, because I could already see life fucking sucked, because I'm walking through Life Sucks Alley, so... Like that, it didn't provide me enough of anything to care about any of the fucking characters or the fucking world. So I was just like, the whole time, sadly. So I'm going to have to say deny it unless you're an achievement whore and you're really, really jonesing from some fucking achievement score or gamer score, whatever.
Cool. I lost track of how many fucks you had on that one. You were
a
just,
lot.
You were just out of control on that one.
That one fucking pissed me off.
I can tell.
That one point ruined the fucking game for me. Absolutely ruined it. Because I sat there and I died. And I was like, okay, obviously I can't do that. And then I die. And I was like, okay, I'll just try to run away. And I died. And I was like, okay, I'll try to get into the corner. Maybe then I died. And I was like, you motherfucker. Oh, it made me mad because I didn't realize the game was just glitched. I thought I was doing something wrong.
Did anyone count that one? Did anyone? I don't think anyone counted how many you had in that one. Next review is Blackberry Honey, developed by Ibihime or Ibihime.
Ibihime.
You say it.
Ibihime.
Published by Rad Lake Games. Released February 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $12.99. It doesn't matter what the hell I say about this, because it's just, you talk about it.
Yeah, this isn't the game for you.
Yeah. So.
This is Victorian Age England, and you play as this maid who has... Let's just go with the polite term of proportions when I really mean she has a giant fucking rack. I mean, like, they're bigger than Joe's head, and you guys can see how big Joe's fucking head is. They're bigger than her own head. Ugh.
See, and that was my point about fan service the other episode, is that if they're bigger than the head, it's clearly fan service.
No, not fan service. When she gets wet later on in the game and you can see through and see her bra, then that's fan service, which happens. Well, you're pathetically poor because it's Victorian age England. So, of course, you're pathetically poor. You're a fucking maid. Of course, you're poor. You're sending money home to your family because they haven't figured out how to use a condom or how to pull out. And there's too many kids and the mom can't take care of them all. Thankfully, there's no dad in the picture anymore, so she ain't gonna be popping out kids any fucking more. Thank God. And you end up in this place, and this place sucks because everyone working there is kind of a cunt. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. They're cunts. And it starts off, you know, you're just trying to sit there and keep your head down and just get your fucking work done because this all sucks, but at least it's money for your family so they can continue feeding the 50 billion fucking kids because their mom doesn't know how to close her fucking legs. And you have three kind of newish people, including yourself, that are in the maid group. One girl, a dumb blonde, she perfectly fits the dumb blonde from the Swiss Alps, who is like a fucking Disney princess. Then you have the slightly chunky Ada, I think her name was. Some just generic Jamaic girl who everyone picks on because she's, again, kind of chunky. And she has I think she has asthma. But again, Victorian England, that's not a thing yet. and then you have the two older maids who are Pauline and Isolde or Isoldel or something like that. They're both cunts. Who cares? Who push all their work on everyone else while acting like they're old, even though I'm pretty sure they're in their like mid to late 20s. And then there's Effie, the girl who acts like a fucking robot, because that's always a trope. And you're working just for this old crone that we never meet, ever, even though she apparently lives in the house. I'm not sure about that, but she apparently does. And her little hell child who needs to get the shit kicked out of her, a 12-year-old by some name that I don't care about because I just wanted to slam her into the ground and stomp on her head until she stopped twitching. Now, her entire everything that little girl does is she doesn't care about anyone else. And she goes out of her way to be cruel, especially to the maids, because it's funny to her. She is fucking trash. Oh my God, I hated that girl. Like, very first thing she has you do is she's like, oh yeah, find me the best rose, one of the best roses in here so I can put it in my room. One, she, little girl don't fucking like flowers, and your character knows that, but you're her mother's maid. You kind of have to do what she says. That's kind of your opinion of fucking everything in this bitch. Yes, I do, Scotty. I say more fucks in any review than anyone says anything anywhere else.
That is true. That is very true.
Yeah. She has you going in there with your bare hands trying to pick this fucking rose for her, and you get all cut up, and she just laughs about it. She's a little bitch. And then there's one other parlor maid, and you end up falling in love with her because she is exotic. Realistically, that's exactly why you fall in love with her. She looks Asian in the Victorian world, therefore she is interesting, unique, new, exotic,
unique, and
yeah, that's why I said that. And and she ends up treating you nice, even though she's also very standoffish towards everyone, including you. She starts being nice to you, and she likes to tease you and be mean to you, which I think is problematic, but you know, whatever. And you two eventually start getting closer, and then it gets really emotional right near the end because you hear about her
life, because that's something throughout the entire game. She doesn't really talk about herself or her past. You tell her about yours and she comforts you and blah, blah, blah. And she never really tells you about hers. And then right near the end of the game, she finally tells you about her life. And it's just...
No spoilers. Yeah. Let's be fair. This isn't really a game.
Yeah, this is straight up a visual novel. This is kinetic. You don't have any choices. It's just straight through. You read it. It is amazing. So amazing. It made me cry a couple times. It was... It was beautiful. I loved it. And Jacob said he was going to buy this in order just to be a bitch and talk shit about it. I don't think he got it. And even if he did, I don't think he would have been able to talk shit about it. It is a beautiful story.
Nice. Well, it's $13. What do you think of it?
Yes. Yes. I would have even been okay with more money. Yes, it is amazing.
Cool. All right. Fuck count was 14, three cunts and three shits. Next game is Choice of Life Middle Ages, developed by Blazing Planet Studio, published by Samistai Limited, released February 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99, also available separately on Windows 10 for $4.99. You find yourself in a wondrous medieval kingdom, and as you know, it will not be easy to survive there. Therefore, you have to make wise and sometimes not so wise choices that will determine your fate. Aki, what is Choice of Life Middle Ages?
It's a card game, kind of. So if any of, I don't know how common these are anymore, but when I was a kid, God, when I was a kid, there were Choose Your Own Adventure books. I don't know if those are still a thing anymore, to be honest. But basically,
when I was a kid, doesn't feel good, does it?
No, it doesn't. You're the old one, not me. Fuck. But in it, you would read stuff, and then it would give you a choice, and you'd flip to one page or the other, depending on what choice you made, and eventually that could lead to you dying in the book or getting a good in one of various endings in it and stuff. That's pretty much what this is in game format, except for you literally always make a choice. Usually it'll tell you, like, oh, this is what's happening right now. Here's one choice, here's the other choice. Make it. You click that, and it immediately says, okay, you did this, and now you're here doing this. You have this choice or this choice. So it's constantly just, excuse me, a cycle of choice after choice after choice. And in it, you start off as a baby, and then you die. You get brought back, which is fantastic. You make a deal with something and come back if you help it somehow. And from there, you continue your life. Again, right back from baby, but now you can make a different choice that keeps you from being covered in hay and forgotten about because your mother's really bad at the whole baby thing. It's like, that's the very first option. You can choose to be silent, and your mom will bury you, cover you with hay, forgetting you're there. Mother of the Year award, folks. She's fantastic. But then you can be like, okay, I choose to crawl away. I choose to be a hellion. I choose to learn to walk. And with this, eventually you can go to various different ends. I haven't actually finished the game because I keep going to different starting ends instead of the final end, which I'll explain here in a second. You eventually unlock other things that you can start off as, because after you start off as a baby, you become a peasant. And as a peasant, you can become various different things. You can be a bandit, a blacksmith, a merchant, or a citizen eventually. Basically, you go off in one path, hopefully figuring out one of the fucking paths, and you become one of these thingamabobs. At any point, though, you can always go back to your map and restart from any of the points that you've unlocked and get other achievements or get titles. Titles are just for doing various things. Like, there's an option at some point in the peasant path
where you can pull a horse's tail and it kicks you and you get Birdman or something. So, because it kicked you in the face and you flew like a bitch. There's a ton of titles and you have to get them all for achievements. This is not a quick 100%, by the way.
No.
But because you can keep doing that, you end up constantly going back to things that you've already unlocked in order to unlock more titles. And eventually you continue the story. You become a citizen somehow through any of these paths. And you get into the inner gates of the castle, I guess we'd call it. Because you know how castles are made, where there's some of them have multiple walls that certain groups of people can be in until you finally get to where the king is in the actual castle. Yeah, you're just getting into another gate to get closer to the castle. And at that point, that's where I've gotten to. I haven't continued through that area because I'm still doing stuff from the peasant area and shit. And there's a lot to do. Like, holy shit, there's a lot to do. But it's a really quick pick up and play game. You can pick it up and drop it real fucking quick. So it's really easy if you like, I only have a few minutes to spare. You can play through one of these real quick. It's really nice.
Well, $5. What's your verdict?
Oh shit. $5. Hell yeah. I'm so for it. It's not a quick 100%. So you achievement horse can fuck right off, but everyone else, it's a nice quick game that, you know, it's a pick up, play a little bit and fuck off doing whatever else you need to do. It's fantastic.
Cool. All right. All right. One final game to talk about, and we are going to After Dark territory. Norg, it's been a while since we've heard your intro. Let's hear this.
SML After Dark.
Yeah, After Dark. We are doing a preview of Slimy Sextet, developed by Belgerum, published by Critical Bliss. It is coming on Steam in 2022. Become a slime monster and fuck a harem of sexy girls, silly, with tentacles in a fully voiced erotic visual novel story. Aki, you're doing this on your own. What's going on here?
Okay. You are summoned from another world. Who the fuck knows where, because it's not actually specified. You don't really remember it. But you wake up in the body of a slime. And you get to choose whether you're a male slime or a female slime. So that's cool. you're summoned by a fairy. I assume a fairy queen would be my guess. Who has given power and training and sacred weapons to a hero, and the deal was for that the hero would give her their firstborn child. And after the hero beat the evil, they said, yeah, no, I'm not planning on having a child, so fuck you, and went off about having their fucking day. And that did not sit well with the fairy queen. She got a little I don't know if pissed off is quite strong enough of a term, but I don't know what it is. So she has decided to create a crazy fuck machine to go forcefully impregnate this woman by turning her into a silly slut and get the kid that way. And so, yeah, the very beginning of this, all that is explained to you because her and her dark elf minion, another person who was given to her as a baby and was raised to be her lackey, are talking, not realizing, one, that you can understand the two dipshits, or two, that you can speak to the two dipshits. So they're sitting there talking shit about you the entire time. And then the elf is like, wait, maybe it can understand us. I mean, it's like, there's no way. Not if you understand me. And you're like, you just nod and you're like, uh-huh. And she's like, oh, well, of course, I'm great at magic. Of course it's not brain dead. And then your character actually starts speaking and they're both just floored for a second. And then they're like, oh, okay. And they start explaining why you were created, what your job is, and some of your abilities.
namely that your body is made of a slime that can change its properties. One of them is it can turn into an aphrodisiac, it can turn into a love potion, and it can turn into semen and some other things as at will. And so your job is to go fuck the hero and her two friends senseless, make them fall madly in love with you by basically drugging them, realistically speaking, with the aphrodisiac and the love potion, and then knocking them up. It's literally the entire plot. And
interesting.
Yeah, and the dark elf is like, but no, we don't know what happens if we leash this thing upon the world, because apparently this magic was fucking forbidden as shit and was not, you were not supposed to be made. So, of course, the fairy queen, being the total bitch that she is, she decides to sick you on her own minion because it amuses her. and you do. And after you do, that's basically where the game, where the demo ends, is after you've dominated her minion. And the point is, you're going to obviously have that minion, then you're going to go get the heroes, and then you're probably going to come back and make that fairy queen your bitch too. And she deserves it most of all. God, her voice is irritating too. She's like a valley girl. And it's terrible.
I like going to the Steam page for this, which, by the way, you need to log in to visit.
Yes.
I don't know why. One friend wants this game. Dark Meek is on fire.
Oh, yeah.
So your thoughts on this one. Should people wish list this one?
If you like porn games, yes. Because I know this thing's story sounded like it's just some standard ass porn game, like that Cherry Kiss game that I covered a while ago, Nymphomaniac Domination or something like that. It's better written than that was. It really, really is. I swear it's better. And the voice acting is amazing for everyone except for the Fairy Queen, because I fucking hate her voice. She's like a valley girl mixed with a rich girl mixed with one of the mean girls from Mean Girls. All combined in one. It's just like, I just kind of want to just slam her into the ground and put a boot on her throat. So I can't wait until it comes out and I get to just make her my bitch just to shut her the fuck up. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I really enjoyed it. It's pretty hot. It's pretty damn hot. The artwork's really well done, and I'm a little biased because I really like Slam Girls. They're like my top tier number one is a slime girl, because they're sexy and they can be whatever the fuck they want.
God.
Hey, slime girls are best girls, followed by dragon girls, because they're dragons.
If you say so. So that's it for this episode. We'll see if Critical Bliss hears this and gets in touch with us to see if you want to review the whole thing.
Oh, please, please, please do listen to us. Listen to us. I demand it.
Well, you'll have to tweet them and be like, hey, Critical Bliss, listen to this. I want to review your game. Get involved. Get involved, Aki. That is it for this episode. We are done. Music. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to play. Something. I'll play a song. How about that?
Did I really go through all my reviews already? God, it just feels like
I'm missing. What do you mean already? It's been like 40 minutes.
And I done 6 reviews?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I know, for real, right? Do you want any final words?
Fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck. You're welcome.